Warning, this episode contains foul language and references to murder and drug use. Wow, that's tame.
Strange and unusual, crazy and creepy, silly and swampy, and everything in between. Each week we have the absolute pleasure of getting together and talking about something weird. And this week is an oopsie daisy, a whoopsie poopsie. Whoops! We promised a paranormal oopsie investigation, but we can't deliver. Not because it didn't happen, just because the ghost didn't show up. So this week we're doing one of our favorites, a weird little check-in we like to call Helter Skelter. These are the episodes where we just bring a handful of strangeness and deliver it straight to your ears. We've got some weird animals, conspiracy theories, and a few clips from the investigation episode that never was. So, make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in full upright position. Make sure your seat belt is securely fastened and all carry-on luggage is stowed underneath the seat in front of you or in the overhead bins. Prepare to land in Silly City. My name is Ashley and this is my co-host Lauren.
Hi, weirdos.
Hey, guys.
Hi, silly heads is more what I want to call them after that intro.
Silly pants. Sorry. Sorry about last week.
Yeah, sorry everybody, but also not sorry because we are honest on the show and Ashley could have faked a whole bunch
totally
of hauntings
could've.
And, you know, I like that you're saying, hey, we didn't get the results we were thinking and that's
And I
right.
told Joe, I was like, I'm so bummed. And he was like, you're bummed that there aren't ghosts haunting this place? And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I guess that's pretty dope.
Fair point. Yeah, that's a good thing. But also crazy. Because your childhood home,
girl.
I thought, had all the things.
Yeah,
going
I'll
on.
Talk about it real quick first. Basically, if you're a consistent listener of this show, you might be thinking, hey, you know, where's that paranormal investigation episode we were promised? Well, we did it, but nothing happened. And it was a total bummer because it was the first time Natalie had tried to talk to the dead, at least in this way. So I was really hoping to experience Aww. Something. But we basically ended right. up coming to the conclusion that whatever was there in the home has either moved on. You know, my mom even said she hasn't had an experience in months, maybe even this year. Or it just wasn't interested in playing our little games.
Yeah, or it was just looking at you, shaking its head and saying, absolutely not. I'm not here for this
tonight.
Especially
because literally right after Natalie left at like 1:30, 2 in the morning, Joe and I were going to bed and we heard one of the weirdest sounds I've ever heard in my life right outside my bedroom window on the roof. So it's like, hello, what?
Oh my gosh. Maybe it just didn't want to freak Natalie out. It was like, hey, I don't know if Natalie's ready for this. And so just waited to make sounds only you and poor little
I thought Jim. Natalie would be kind of the perfect, if there was anything there. You know, I thought she would be like the perfect person to have because whatever would be there would know her as well. Because she spent, I mean, she was basically like another sister. She spent half her life at my house.
Right. Part of the family.
You know, well,
whatever. Well, yeah, it's all bizarre, but you know what? It happens.
Happens
and
to
I
the
still
best of
want
us.
To hear about it. I still want some of
well,
the
Well, we still had a blast, obviously, because these are very fun. We had a few good moments, pretty funny scares. And I just have two little clips to share with you guys because we don't really have anything paranormal. But just to start out, I do have to say my house is not creepy. It doesn't look creepy. It's basically brand new. It was built in 1993 by my dad. And I asked my dad what was there before he built the house. And he said it was an overgrown empty lot surrounded by a barbed wire fence, which is creepy, but still doesn't explain a haunting.
Why? Yeah, why there would be a haunting. It doesn't add up.
No. And as a refresher, Natalie and I went over this all during our recording, but, you know, In my house, a little girl has been seen. She's been heard. The sounds of a small girl laughing, crying, running. An old man has been seen on the porch by multiple people, and a dark, nondescript figure has been seen, too. We also had a lot of problems with battery-operated toys, and Natalie and I chatted a bit about it here.
My sister and I would get so creeped out by all of our, you know, talking toys, the Teddy Ruxpins, mm-hmm. the, you know, talking Woody doll, there's a snake in my boot, etc.
Just at all hours of the night, at all
would
times.
Just go off on their own. Mm-hmm. Tickle Me Elmo is a big one that would go off.
Well, you just be said that, there. And I feel like it just triggered a memory in me that I feel like that just happened down, like we were sleeping down here, and I just heard the giggle.
Yeah,
like,
it was like, that tickles.
And I
was
not like, Elmo. Mm-hmm. Not
Elmo. Right.
Don't you dare.
Not in this life, climate. Not in the next. Elmo. So my sister would get so... My sister and I, sorry, would get so freaked out that we would put these dolls in the meat freezer in the basement. We just throw them in there.
Can you imagine being your dad?
Oh, and so coming was my mom. My mom got the shit scared out of her because she'd open the meat freezer and Urkel would be just looking up at her. Didn't I do that? She'd be like, stop doing this. And it's like, we hate them.
Poor Pam.
So we had fun reminiscing about all the haunted dolls.
Oh, my gosh. In thinking of Urkel looking up at you from the meat freezer.
Yeah, half frozen in the meat freezer because we wanted him to die.
I love it so much.
The only room, we were very scared of going in the basement, but it really wasn't that bad. To be fair, we did have to have the lights on when we were moving around, because it's so filled with old stuff that we haven't quite found a home for yet, like my grandparents' stuff. Yeah, so like...
You wouldn't want to trip and kill yourself.
So, we could have died. Yeah. We joked a lot about how'd you get your broken ankle? Well, but Jamie's room seemed to be the only room that had any weird stuff going on in it. We had temperature fluctuations. We got cold multiple times, and we were able to confirm the change in temperature with the thermometer. Uh-huh. Natalie at one point felt like she was getting a warm hug from behind, but she said it was comforting. She wasn't afraid,
well, that's
but
nice.
It was, yeah, she said it was very apparent that something was warm and behind her.
Showing her love.
We heard a few bumps from the hallway, which happens to me a lot upstairs. It's the same hallway that my bedroom's connected to. Our EMF lit up a few times right when we started and then stopped. And there was a strange anomaly happening where it looked like something was pressing on the frame of this picture, because it was like distorting the light of the EMF reader in the room. And it was very strange. Oh. However, not enough happened to produce a full episode.
Right.
So
fair enough.
But this was the location of my favorite moment, a scare with a totally non-paranormal explanation.
Did you see that shadow under the door?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Did
no.
you see it?
No. I don't know.
You see it now?
Oh,
I see
God.
It. Okay,
oh, God.
I know what it
okay.
is. No, it's okay. It's...
Oh, fuck.
My dad has a...
What is it?
It's like a bug thing. To make sure bugs stay out, but it goes on, it goes on and off like that. See it fade and then it comes back on.
But why? That's fucking terrifying.
It is really scary actually looking at it.
Oh my gosh. But why would that just now,
I don't know,
show up?
Maybe it's on a timer. It really was a Beetlejuice moment.
Oh my
moment,
gosh.
Though.
Oh my god. Yeah, the door was...
It lit up from under the door and I was like...
when he drew the... Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Natalie was unwell.
She grabbed my leg.
The fear in her voice, you can just hear that there's a tremble underneath.
So scary.
Oh my
gosh.
It was
so scary.
So it's bug zapper?
Yeah, he has them all throughout the house. They plug into the wall. And what they do, they're not zappers, but they send off some sort of electronic something. It just like keeps bugs from, like, they don't want to come in.
Right.
Basically.
Just scaring them off. We live
in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. And basically they like, they also work pretty well as night lights too in these dark hallways, because they like light up and then it dims really slowly and then lights up and then dims really slowly. But I swear to God, it looked like the door from Beetlejuice, like this blue purple light coming from under the door. And I was like, did you see that? And Natalie was like, no. And then when she saw it, she grabbed my leg and she was like, what's happening?
Yeah, it was just a bug zapper. What to think. So. I would think, like, is a portal opening that somebody is about to walk through? Like, what am I supposed to gather from this creepy light? So I completely understand why she was
and
losing
then
her
every
mind.
Room we went in after that, we had to unplug the bug things because
like,
we were scarred for life.
Don't get creeped out. Oh, that's so funny. Sorry,
thank
Natalie.
You, Natalie, though, for joining me for the investigation, even though we didn't get an episode out of it. She was pretty bummed. She was like, I'd want to do one. And I was like, you will. I promise that the next time either Lauren and I do one or I do one in Illinois or whatever, I will have you back and we'll see if we can actually find something. Yeah, so
we'll make it happen for sure, Natalie. You deserve some real spooks.
You deserve it. Sure. You deserve to be frightened.
We're going to make sure it happens. Well, I love that you guys tried, and it was a nice, know, like Halloween activity.
Totally. Yeah. Still. It was like 2 days before Halloween, and I had gone to like the fall festival that day. I watched like a kiddie parade where like literally every child in my town was there dressed up. It was wonderful.
Cute. Yeah, and how was your Halloween? I can't believe we didn't even do a recap from after we're coming back from the month of October.
I didn't do much.
Just chilled.
I didn't do anything on Halloween. I didn't even have a costume this year. I put some skull makeup on because I didn't know if we would get trick-or-treaters. Spoiler alert, we got trick-or-treaters. We only got like four groups, but they were the fucking best. And I love trick-or-treaters.
Oh, that is so fun. I thought you were going to get more for sure, but I'm still glad that you got some.
Yeah, I never had them. Right. Because growing up, I lived in the middle of nowhere. No one trick-or-treated at our house.
Right.
In LA, I lived in apartments. No one trick-or-treated. In college, it was, I was not in a dorm, but
chance.
I might as well have been. So, boy, it was exciting to hear all of them yell trick-or-treat. And, like, this one kid, you would have liked this. This one kid walked up, and he was wearing all black head to toe with, like, a hood and everything. And then he had these little red glowing glasses on that made it look like he had red glowing eyes. And I said, are you a Mothman? And he very, very sadly told me, I'm an evil librarian. And then he walked away. And I was like, that's scary, too.
That's also scary.
Are you the Mothman? I'm an evil librarian.
I'm
it was
evil
like, oh, okay.
librarian. Oh, I'm
he
sorry,
was, like,
honey.
So bummed that
was his costume. The cutest thing ever. I feel like that's kind of how Wilder would respond to people when they asked about him, because he could not make a decision to save his life. I feel like I was telling you. So we went through a cycle of 1,000 costumes, but eventually he settled on a skeleton with a blippy hat and a blippy bow tie.
Sure.
And for anyone out there who doesn't know, if you're not a parent, there's a character on YouTube named Blippy. He's annoying AF, but kids love him and whatever. He saves you when you need to get something done.
All kids love this guy.
Yeah, he's like, he's their hero, and I totally get it. But Wilder had the blippy hat on and the blippy bow tie, but also a skeleton outfit. So he was skeleton blippy. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe it didn't come together in the way he was imagining it, because I felt like every time someone asked him, it was kind of that bummed out voice that you just described. Like, I'm a skeleton. Oh, wait, no. I'm a skeleton blippy. Like, he would correct himself and be like, I had to change it. And it was like, you didn't have to. This was your idea.
You chose to change this.
You chose to be this little weirdo. But it was fun to go trick-or-treating with him, because I was on the flip side. I didn't do any handing out of candy because, again, we live in an apartment in Los Angeles. But we went to a residential neighborhood nearby to do trick-or-treating where there's a bunch of houses. And it was so fun with the age Wilder is, like 3, I feel like is when they really understand it, are excited about it. Like, he was running up to the door. We were like having to power walk to catch up to him. Whereas last year we kind of had to go with him and nudge him along. Like, oh, you walk up to the door. But he was sprinting from door to door. Trick or treat. Thank you. On to the next house. Trick or treat. Thank you. Anyway, it was so cute. I loved it.
We had one girl. She was the best. She like literally took a step into our home and like poked her head in. And she was like, your house is cool. And then like left. And I was like, that girl rules. That is me as a child.
That is you as a child.
Just like pushing people out of the way to be like, I got to see what's going on in here.
Also, I'm just obsessed with her. Like that she was like, you know what? I want to see what's going on inside your house. Like I want to get some decor ideas from the living room. Get a little inspo.
So anyways, so Halloween was it was a lovely weekend and Halloween was great. I did literally not a single Halloween party. I didn't wear a costume. But honestly, it was the first year I got to do trick-or-treaters. It was the first year I'd been to the Fall Fest and Kitty Parade since like 2007. And it was the first year I had a yard to decorate. So great. I'm happy.
Yeah, it was different, but it was great. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I got married. So.
And you got married in the same month. So it's perfect.
Yeah. It was a busy month.
Ours was the same. I feel like, again, as Wilder's age changes, like we can't go to parties anymore. The one party we did go to was during the day and it was mostly children. So it was the same.
Yeah. How do you
us.
Get a babysitter for a Halloween party? All exactly. The babysitters are like, I can't because I'm going to a Halloween party.
Because I'm the one who's busy partying it up. Yeah. But sorry, we did have parents. A Dr. Spaceman show. So that was
true.
Fun.
You did.
That was kind of the party. So it was a good time. But
and your father-in-law got to go, right?
Yeah. Alex's dad, that's Jim, cool. Got to go. He had so much fun. Halloween. Great month.
Halloween.
Had by
good
all.
Time.
And here we are. Happy November, everyone.
The November blues. The that old thing. November blues.
November blues. But that's why we're going to cheer ourselves up with some weird stories, conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
all
what
kinds
are you? What are you telling me about an otter?
I love that you're saying an otter. I wish I had an otter story. It's an owl.
So owl.
That other O animal, but
yeah, man, I knew there was an O involved.
I wish there was a story about an otter. They're so
one
cute.
One day.
I brought a weird news story about an owl that I first read about on Reddit, but then saw like NPR and a couple of other websites covered it as well. And I was like, what is happening? And it also can blend into a very popular true crime story. So just get ready for that. Not that this has anything to do with the crime that happened, but you'll see.
Right. The story, the true crime.
The owl story.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay, so the story goes, there was a woman named Kirsten Matheson walking alone in the
woods.
Sounds
fake.
It's not real. She was walking alone in the woods by her Hansville, Washington home when she was attacked up in the Pacific Northwest. She was attacked from behind. Something hit her in the back of the head. She's just taking a stroll. It's a quiet afternoon. You don't expect to be attacked when there's literally no one else around. There was no warning. They were fast, they were quiet, but they left a huge bloody gash in the back of her head.
Okay.
She said it felt like getting punched in the back of the head by somebody who was wearing a lot of rings or a really sharp ring. Luckily, she was able to, like, she did a search. There was nobody around, as I said, when she looked around to say, like, what the hell was that? Or did something like fall from a tree? Whatever. She couldn't find anything.
Meteor? But, like, why?
Right. The more she investigated and looked around, she sees an owl up in a tree. And she was able to get photos and videos of it to post online. And she was told by the internet that what was up in the tree staring angrily at her and puffing its chest up at her was a white barred owl. And it was looking at her as if it was about to cast a spell on her, murder her, or I don't know.
To be fair, that's how owls usually look.
That's true. They're big old eyes. Sometimes I swear they look like they're smiling, though, depending on the owl. But
that's true. They have two versions. They have the
terrifying
angry face, and then they have like the sweet, innocent, smiley face.
Right.
That's
it. So she sees it up in the tree and, you know, she's taking photos and video, but even as she's like moving slightly closer to it up in the tree, she can see that it's like, it's puffing up. It's not happy about her. So she, of course, walks away, gets into her house as fast as she can. Again, the internet told her that it is a white barred owl. And she was just so shocked for months. Like, she was getting on Reddit trying to ask if anyone else had ever had this problem of, like, are you getting attacked by owls? Because that was completely unprompted. She was just walking, not even power walking, nothing aggressive about her body. She was just taking a stroll. She had actually seen owls similar to that one around the neighborhood before and just thought, like, what a beautiful creature, but nothing had ever happened to her. So
maybe the owl knows something we don't.
I mean,
just saying.
You could be right. So that day when she had gotten home, her boyfriend was able to help her disinfect her bloody scalp and saw that the cut was pretty deep and pretty gnarly. He didn't believe the story at first until she started showing him, like, hey, look at this Reddit thread. Other people have gotten hit by owls and same thing in the back of the head. The doctor, she had to go to the doctor to get the cut checked out. And she had to get a tetanus shot to avoid any further issues from that owl germ
attack?
Bacteria. Yeah. Like, I don't know what they're carrying, but you think of that if it used, I mean, its feet, its little beak, whatever. Like, there's probably a whole lot of bacteria in there. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
So she had
You're
to get a
tetanus
shot. You're
not even supposed to touch birds.
I know.
Much
it's
less
like they
get
are carrying every disease.
By birds.
Truth. So she had to get a tetanus shot, and the doctor was basically like, watch yourself. Like, you're either going to have to find a new walking path or, like, have some sort of protective gear on your head because this is a really bad cut and we don't want you to, you know, get infected or have anything worse happen. So she laid low for a little bit after that advice, but then decided, like, I don't want to be kept captive in my house. I love going on my strolls. So I'm going to go and just turn in a different direction. Maybe I was in his territory. I'm going to go a different way. I'll walk even slower. I'm really going to watch my surroundings. So she went on another walk. Exactly a week later, the following Saturday, she was pretty close to her driveway still. It's like she had just kind of started the walk, just exited, and the owl struck again.
Are you serious?
But this time it left behind 6 cuts on her head, and she was like bleeding everywhere. Like, I'll have to send you the picture and maybe we'll be able to post it somewhere for our listeners. I would say viewer discretion advised. I mean, I guess that's safe to say no matter what. It's not too graphic and terrible to look at. You're more just like, that is coming, that blood is coming from your head from an owl attack. Like, it just, it looks like she fell and hit her head on the pavement. And instead it was an owl attack. 6 cuts all over her head. So this time she's like, what the fuck? Like, I went a different way. I've barely even left my yard. Like, what is happening? I wasn't encroaching on his territory. So again, she's going to the Reddit threads like, okay, now I need to talk to a wildlife authority or specialist. Somebody needs
need
to talk
to
me.
I need an expert.
Yes, I need an expert on owls and owl attacks. I know some of you said it happened, you know, once. I don't know what happened after that. What did you use? What should I do? Because it just happened to me again and it was worse. And, you know, some people were being comical about it, saying like, hey, he's just trying to take you to Hogwarts and give you your acceptance letter. And then other people started saying, well, first, let's look at the death of Kathleen Peterson, whose husband was convicted of killing her. And let's talk about the documentary, The Staircase, where Michael Peterson said that she was mortally wounded in an owl attack. So then the Reddit thread, like, completely just lost its mind and only started talking about that and how this is the proof that it was an owl that killed Kathleen Peterson. So everyone is unhinged on the internet, basically. And that was what started being talked about. But finally, Matheson's story reached enough people that some wildlife specialists in the Washington state area were able to come to her and say, hey, barred owls are notoriously aggressive. It's not all year long. It's a seasonal thing. So I think this just might be like mating season or, you know, something is going on with them right now that they are a little bit more aggressive. So you might just have to wait it out. And another runner in West Seattle posted a similar story on Reddit saying like, hey, this also happened to me. So I started wearing an owl mask on the back of my head and I haven't been attacked since. So maybe try that.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Another person said they started carrying an umbrella. Another person said they start wearing a large hat, whatever it may be. So people were starting to give her advice. And then one of the wildlife specialists said, listen, these owls are super territorial. That's what's going on. Like, more and more of our dense forests are being cut down and neighborhoods are going up, blah, blah, blah. So they're looking for a new space and we are the ones taking up their space.
Our territories. Yeah,
totally. It's like, we're the enemy. We took away their home. So he was saying, that's why this owl is coming for you. Cause you seem to be the enemy only offering in this one skinny tree after he used to have his forest. So that's why the barred owl was coming for her. They traditionally nest in the cavities of trees, actually, and that is just, that is so much harder to find. So now these poor owls have lost their homes. They're angry. They're taking it out on the humans, as they should, because it is our fault. And basically, we need to save our planet and stop cutting down all the trees and let these owls live in the forest and nest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the owl side. And also, like, buy a hat.
Yeah, also, like, just take everybody's advice. Get the owl mask, get the hat, take an umbrella, wear a helmet. I don't know. But yeah, the owl has every right to be mad. I definitely am siding with the owl here. But yeah, Matheson has not been attacked since. She started taking a totally different walking path altogether that didn't even go near the street where the owl lives. She has started wearing a hat or carrying an umbrella. No more attacks have happened. She's hoping she won't have to carry an umbrella forever, but also, girl, just, like, maybe do it if you're going to stay in Washington where these owls are hanging out. But she did go on to say, as sad as she was to, you know, be cut up on her scalp, which wasn't very fun, she did say, I don't want this owl to be put down. I don't wish harm on this owl. I understand it's very beautiful. I'm in its space. But my favorite quote from the NPR article was, she said, it's just a pretty bitch. I just thought that was a funny quote to have in NPR. And yeah,
wouldn't
that's the
it
owl
be
story.
Just wild if an owl killed Kathleen Peterson?
I know. That's the thing, is some of the things people were saying online were a little bit of a stretch, but I was also like, well, but, you know, we all thought the story seemed too insane, or was it just insane enough to be true and crazy enough to be true? I don't know.
I do feel like if it was an owl, because, like, what was the evidence that there was an owl? Were there feathers?
At the scene?
Yeah.
Wait, for Kathleen Peterson?
For Kathleen, yeah.
I think there were, but okay. That could have, but did they ever actually find out that, like, the owl came into the home? I thought the feathers were maybe just, like, near their door, but maybe I'm forgetting. There was something.
I don't really remember the, like, actual evidence. I just remember, you know, it was, like, halfway through the trial, wasn't it? Or was it a retrial? I don't remember even when they brought it up, because it wasn't
at first. It was definitely
later on. Yeah, at first they were going with a she fell, and then all of a sudden they were like, well, and it could have been an owl.
Could have been this, like, owl. Well,
it also could have been Michael Peterson, but who am I to say?
It's probably her husband. It is just so crazy, though, to read the story and be like, well, now I don't think the story was as insane as we initially felt. Because it's like, do I still think Michael Peterson did it? Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm sort of like, okay, well, now I can at least see where the defense was going with it. Where originally I was like, everyone has lost their damn mind if they think this is going to work as evidence in court. But it's like,
an owl. But yeah, that's what birds do attack. They attack our heads, obviously.
Yeah.
Really aggressive birds. And they do the same to animals. They attack the head. Because I remember one time, one of our Cocker Spaniels growing up got into or too close to a blue jay's nest, and this blue jay attacked its head like 8 times. Like, it would fly down, attack its head, and then our Cocker Spaniel would, like, turn around, and then it would fly down and attack its head, and it would turn around. Like, the Cocker Spaniel couldn't figure out what the hell was happening.
Poor puppy.
And it was a blue jay. It was a mad, mad, mad blue jay.
Oh my gosh, little dog just like, what was that?
What? Like, what? Dumb idiot.
I know. Yeah, and that's the thing, is, like, the owls in that same area in Washington, like, the owls are known to attack foxes, deer, like, anything that's encroaching on its territory. So you're exactly right. They're angry at everybody. But with people, I just think it's probably a little more rare than the animals. So when it does happen, everyone's like, what in God's name? I know. But yeah, I'm glad that it hasn't happened since. And, you know, nobody else in the area has reported it. So according to the wildlife specialist, it seems like that means the owl was able to find a good nesting spot and has settled in. Because once they, you know, find their cozy little cavity in a tree, they're good to go. And they don't want to punch us in the head anymore. So.
Well, good. I hope that everyone ends up happy. I hope the lady doesn't get her head attacked anymore, and I hope that owl lives a long owl life.
Me too, Ashley.
Filled with many owl children.
Many little owlets.
Well, I brought a new conspiracy.
Yes! I love when you have a new conspiracy theory. It's my favorite.
And this one's pretty interesting. Like, okay. I'm not really buying the supposed explanation. But I also don't know how much I'm buying into the conspiracy theories, but here goes. Okay. So for pretty much all of 2022, you can find news reports from all over the United States and Canada about streetlights being purple now.
Okay.
I found a news report for Minnesota reported by CBS News in February of 2022. CBC News reported it in Vancouver on October 4th, 2022. Bowling Green, Kentucky. Green Bay Press Gazette was Wisconsin in March. Tampa, Florida in January. Orlando in March. Burlington, North Carolina in April. You get the idea. It's everywhere. And honestly, if you Google why are streetlights turning purple, you'll get pages and pages and pages of small and large news organizations reporting on it from all over.
Wow.
Random streetlights and lamps and even highway lights seem to be purple, almost like they look like black lights now. And obviously, people are curious as to why.
I'm very curious as to
why. Usually they are white. And some reports are saying that it's a flawed batch of LEDs that were received years ago. I think this was in Vancouver. Received years ago in which the filters are failing. Oh. Because basically white... Oh, hello.
I forgot I left my sound on from the clip. Sorry, let me
fix that and then you can take care of this.
All right, there we're good.
The white light in LED bulbs is essentially made up of the colors of the rainbow. So it's like red, blue, green. And when one color is removed, say green, it leaves a red and blue light, which mix to make purple. So it's no longer white, it's purple. But then Fox reported that they either have a chip that's gone bad in them or the film on top that's controlling the color temperature is damaged. And then another city claimed that there was coating on the fixtures that has failed. But like all of these cities all over received bad LED lights.
Right. That feels...
And installed them around the same time?
Yeah, that feels weird. I don't...
Even
I don't
though, according to a couple of the reports, the cities had received that particular shipment years prior. Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why are all the streetlights all over the United States and Canada turning purple?
Right. Huh.
And theories range from totally plausible to absolutely cuckoo bananas, and I love every single one of them. Some people believe what the city... ordinances are saying, that there's a bad shipment of LED lights that somehow went to every city. Uh-huh. Tens of thousands. Sure. Definitely. Some people think that the purple lights were an energy saving measure, which they were okay with. A lot of people actually really enjoyed the purple lights. Like, it wasn't hard to see while driving. Everything looked kind of cool and futuristic and or Halloween-y, depending on what mood you're in.
Uh-huh.
But other people reported they were getting headaches from the purple light, which I guess I can believe, but honestly don't understand, seeing as every light bulb in my office is a purple light. I am bathing in purple light at all times. It's my favorite.
Yeah, how would it give you a headache? I feel like usually bright lights are, if anything, would be giving you a headache. The purple can, like, mellow you out. But, I mean, who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a real
thing. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Some believe that certain types of lighting makes people more docile and controllable, and it's a mind control feature. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
All about it.
Some people are saying that if you've been vaccinated against COVID-19, you will glow in the dark under the purple light.
Okay.
Which is incorrect, but I love you guys for it. I love the enthusiasm.
We're into it. Get passionate about it. All right.
The biggest... theory, and the one that I think is probably the most believable, because I just don't buy it. I don't buy that all these cities received tens of thousands of these malfunctioning bulbs and just installed them.
Uh-huh.
Like, none of them are tested before they are installed. What if they have a strobe function and people start having seizures? Like,
right.
I just don't buy that this happened all over the United States and Canada. It happened simultaneously, and every one of these cities just installed them all, no questions asked, and just figured people wouldn't mind.
Uh-huh.
Like, that to me doesn't seem plausible.
No. I don't understand.
But the biggest
this.
Conspiracy theory that I actually kind of believe is that they believe that it is some sort of surveillance tool that our law enforcement is attempting to use without our knowledge.
Oh.
They think that the purple light might make it easier for cameras at intersections and security cams on the street, that the light would make it easier to see a person's features.
Okay.
Even in their cars.
Well, that's not a bad idea, actually.
It's not a bad idea. And I would be like totally fine with this if law enforcement was like, actually, like if we use purple lights on streets, then when we have footage of like a suspect, we'll be able to see their face better.
It's
like
so blurred and grainy if it's.
Yeah. Like sign me up. That sounds great.
And I could see them not being vocal about that and reporting it because, you know, for them all criminals who might be doing something shady on the street under these purple lamps, they don't want them to know.
And then there's other things that are kind of shady and creepy. Like some people think the purple lights might make it easier for those automatic speed ticketer cameras to operate at night.
Okay.
And like the, yeah, and like the intersection cameras to make sure you don't run, like stuff like that, which is like, that's kind of shitty. Like those automatic speed ticketer things suck anyway.
I know. I hate them.
I got a warning in Chicago for going, it was like 36 and a 30.
Okay.
I was like, are you kidding me?
36 like, and a 30 is, that's what everyone does. That's like going slow.
Yeah. If you're going 30 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, get off the road. Yeah, you don't need to be driving.
We're all going
to
be going
a tad over,
let me tell you. That's pretty ridiculous.
But I do think it's definitely plausible that the purplish lights are purposeful, whether that's for law enforcement or security purposes. But I don't understand why they would try to do this in such a way that they did they think people wouldn't ask questions?
Right. Of course they're going to. The lights are purple out of the blue. Like, as I said, when you first started the story, when you first started it, I was like, I'm so curious. Please tell me, why would they be?
Yeah, you should look up pictures. I mean, they are purple. They aren't like sort of purplish tinted. They're purple lights. And they're in cities all over. And some cities have like completely replaced them because so many people were complaining and like questioning. And like that's the thing is like this day and age with like QAnon and like all the like how susceptible we are as a society to conspiracy theories, flat earthers, birds aren't real. Like, how could you do this and just think like it'll be fine?
Nobody's going to say a word.
No one's going to lose their fucking mind over this.
No, everyone is looking for conspiracy theories, myself included. I love a good conspiracy theory and coming up with these little ideas. So of fucking course, we are all going to start coming up with our own little plot lines for these purple lamps. That is so strange to have nobody say anything about it. I'm very curious to see what happens. Will we ever get
but
an
I do want you guys to write in. If you live in a city where the streetlights were or have been or are currently purple, please give us your point of view. Yeah. What do you think these purple lights are doing, if anything? I, for one, am for the purple lights.
Yeah. I want to believe that they're doing something useful and good that could help law enforcement in some way. That I'm going to hold on to that in my heart. But also, I think purple is a really fun color.
It's a fun color.
And it would look very fun on a city street.
Every photo and video I've seen of the purple lights looks really fucking cool.
Probably looks like your living room.
It looks like my living room. Yeah. And I think I'm for it.
Me too.
Even if it is like, oh, purple lights make you more docile, I could afford to be more docile. I'm an anxious person.
Me too. I feel like it'll chill me out. That's what I was saying before, like the headache thing. Like, oh, I get anti-headache. It makes me so calm and sleepy and happy.
Yeah. I would understand, you know, fluorescent light gives you headaches. Ugh.
Yeah. Then I'd be like, okay, I'm never walking on the street again, I guess.
Yeah.
Because this is terrible.
But purple? Nah. Purple's pretty chill.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I hope we get answers. As fun as it is to theorize about things, like I do want to know what is happening.
I encourage you guys to Google why are street lamps purple now. Like, don't Google your city, just Google why are street lamps purple now and open some of the news reports, because they're from every city. The reports are very identical. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
I can't wait to do a deep dive.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You had a derp corner, didn't you?
I do. I have a derp. Gosh, I missed this week in weird. So many good times.
We're going to start back up. We will.
I know. We're going to have to just do it on video chat, staring into each other's eyeballs and telling news stories. But yes, I brought another weird news story. So... The National Park Service has been begging its visitors to stop licking psychedelic toads.
All right, guys.
And just, like, you see that headline and you're like, what? Why? We all need to relax. Like, everyone chill out. I know we're all
get
searching for that joy, that serotonin. That
nothing in this world could get me to lick a toad. Nothing.
You say that, but, you know, what if you're, like, truly down and out?
Listen,
like,
I love psychedelics. I'm not licking a fucking frog. I'm not doing
me
it.
Me either. I was trying to play devil's advocate for any of these people, but I can't.
I don't even care if it's like a frog that's been taken great care of in someone's home and clean. I'm not licking it. It's a frog.
He's the cleanest little frog in the bathtub.
The cleanest frog in the valley. No.
I would not do it either. I was trying to, you know, side with the people doing this. Like, okay, well, hey, let's have a healthy debate. Let's look at it. No, I can't. I can't support anything you guys are doing. So this unusual warning pops up on, you know, different national park websites and on social media, urging visitors across the country to stop licking toads, which is something that you should not have to say to the human population. But here we are. So, you know... A representative from the National Park Service was quoted saying, as we say with most things you come across in a national park, whether it be a banana slug, an unfamiliar mushroom, or a large toad with glowing eyes in the dead of night, please refrain from licking.
Don't put it in your mouth.
And yeah, please don't put it in your mouth. And, you know, this was just another case of, okay, we had to add these toads to the list because there is a type that secretes a toxin that can either make you super sick because it has like it does have a poison element to it, or if it's just the right amount, it can be like a hallucinogenic substance, basically like DMT.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I had heard of this before, like I do kind of remember this, but I didn't know that it was to the point now that people were seeking it out and licking.
I didn't know
them.
We like, had them in the United States.
Me freaking
I
either.
Thought they were only in like, you know, the Amazon or something.
And they may have been only in the Amazon for a time, because I feel like we talked about them on the podcast or, you know, added in a newsletter or something. Like, it was so familiar to me, but I was like, well, wait a minute. I didn't know we could, same as you, come across them anywhere near to us, or that this was becoming a regular thing. So it specifically applies to the Sonoran desert toad, or also called the Colorado river toad. And these toads have a prominent paratoid gland that secretes this potent toxin. Okay. And if you handle the frog, you know, with your hands and then touch something on your body or lick it and get it into your mouth, that is when you will feel the effects of the substance. And if you take too much, you could be so severely ill and poisoned. It is such a specific amount. So on top of these idiots running around licking a toad who's just trying to live their life, they are also having to say, okay, I'm about to lick this toad, but also it can only be for 1.5 seconds, and I have to make sure only this amount of drops get in my mouth. I just can't believe that this is a thing. So the secretions, yes, they can lead to a trip. Maybe you'd have a really cool hallucinogenic trip. I'm not saying
but at what cost?
At what cost? The National Capital Poison Center came out and said, well, if you have the wrong amount, it can cause severe irritation, pain, and tissue damage. And nerve damage for the rest of your life.
Damn.
It could cause numbness of the mouth and throat, as well as severe life-threatening effects on the heart. It's just so not worth it. You could get like irregular heartbeats, heart block, reduced blood pressure, and even severe enough as cardiac arrest if you're doing it enough times, which I think some people probably are. And these secretions can also be absorbed into your skin. It would probably have to be a higher amount to get like the poisoned effect. But still, if you're handling this toad, even if you're like, oh, I chickened out, I didn't end up licking it. If you were holding it for long enough and chit-chatting with your buddies, enough could be absorbed into your skin to still get sick. So please leave the toads alone. Some people are not even licking them, I guess, you know. When you talk to the people in this community who want the effects of these toads, they're like, well, I didn't actually put it to my mouth, but I did collect the secretions and found a way to smoke them. So that is also a new
thing.
We
will just smoke anything, won't we?
You can smoke some toad poison, everybody. Did you know? Get those secretions, get those toxins. So that is happening with some people as well. And now, this is the other sad part. This toad is now considered threatened in New Mexico due to the over-collecting by people seeking out their little mind-altering binge with their friends, which is, again, same with the owl. Like, it's so sad. We're ruining every animal's life on this planet. But the New York Times earlier this year, I guess, reported that the demand for the secretions has put the toad at risk for population collapse all over. New Mexico is just kind of the first place where it's actually like, oh, they're like now kind of endangered over here. Yeah. And everybody just wants to reach their highest potential, get their mind to the best place it can be, but they're harming little toady. And it's very sad. So stop it.
Stop, guys.
Stop it. Stop it from the National Park Service and stop it from Keep It Weird with Lauren and Ashley.
But I also, yeah, I just feel like you don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be
that guy. You don't want to be the guy that gets high off of a toad. Like, you don't want to be known as that person. Like, that person doesn't have a good life. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a good outcome.
They really don't. Don't do it. It's like, oh, Steve went on one of his toad hunting hikes again last weekend.
Steve, everyone knows about Steve. Like, you're not going to be talked about fondly when you're not around.
1,000%.
Just don't do it.
Please. Please don't do it. Leave the toads alone. Don't hurt yourself. I'm looking out for the toads because I can't believe that they're already, like, endangered in New Mexico. But also, you could kill yourself. So quit it.
Which I'm less worried about, Steve. Because if you are willing to lick a toad, then you know what? Consequences. There are consequences for our actions, especially the stupid ones. So,
yeah, 1,000%.
I actually wanted to, before we go, I think now would be a great time to cover some stuff people should be watching, because there's a lot right now in terms of horror and in terms of true crime documentaries. So I have a little listy here. I know you guys are always asking for suggestions. Joe and I just watched Low Country, the Murdoch Dynasty last night on HBO. It is a 3-part documentary about the absolutely batshit stuff that's happened to and come out about the Murdoch family in the last 8 years or so. Murders, fraud, corruption. It's great. Have you seen it yet?
I started it. Girl. I haven't finished, though. I was just going to chime in and say so, so good already. So good. But all I've heard from the couple of people who've watched it is like, oh, my gosh, just wait. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Just wait. Because at first you're just like, whoa, what a crazy story. And then the second episode, you're like, wow, what a fucking crazy story. And then by the third episode, you're like, how?
Am I a person? How?
So I highly recommend it. Yes, as a reminder for people, the Murdoch family is that, like, I think it's South Carolina.
Carolina.
Family of, like, lawyers, like a dynasty of lawyers who, like, just had their lives completely fucked up. And by that, I do mean fucked up their own lives.
It was by their doing. We actually briefly talked about it on our finale last year, but yeah, we didn't do a deep dive, and more has come out since I talked about it. But that was, I remember telling that to you and Joe, and you were both just staring at me with your mouths hanging open. Like, you are just saying a movie plot to me right now. And it was like, nope, this is happening.
And this documentary covers a lot of stuff you talked about, plus some. And Joe really delighted. In the, I think that you're going to be in two camps where you're either going to be like, wow, karma's real, huh? Sucks. Maybe don't be such a piece of shit and this horrible stuff won't happen to you. Or you'll be in the other camp that's like, no one deserves this. Joe and I are definitely in the camp that's like, hey, sometimes you fuck around and sometimes you find out.
Yep.
And this family fucked around a lot.
And they, you know what? They're finding out. I feel like I'm in your camp as well. It's, I mean, and also, going back to the toads, that's kind of the same thing. Yeah. Like, I hope when I was giving the PSA, it was like, I am rooting for the toad safety a little more than yours. Because if you were willing to go lick a toad, like, okay, you fucked around and you're going to find out.
Same
if
with
you get
the
super
owl.
Ill, so. Yeah.
Listen.
Man, fuck around, find out. Theme of this episode.
Also, if anyone slept on the Army Hammer documentary, which is called House of Hammer, it's streaming on Discovery Plus. Sleep No More. It is a wild documentary. I finally fucking sat down and watched it. It's crazier than I thought.
Oh, gosh. I still haven't. I'm nervous.
It's not, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, like, descriptions of things, but, you know, no one actually gets, like, murdered. you know? So sure. It's a little bit easier.
That has not stopped me from watching documentaries before. So it's not even that. I just know it's going to be just so
it's wild,
heavy and intense. Yeah. And just to think, like, all of the movies I've seen this man in, it's like Armie Hammer, your family.
Yeah.
Is like, what has been happening? How did we all not know about this? Anyway.
Our friends over at Planet Weird have a new podcast that you can either watch on YouTube or listen to wherever you get your pods. It's called the Haunted Objects Podcast. This is the crew that made Hellier.
Woo-woo!
So we know they have quality products. And Greg and Dana Newkirk specifically, who have curated the Traveling Paranormal Museum for years. And they're basically just talking about all of their objects, where they came from, their personal stories, as well as other people's stories of experiences with the object. The first episode is live now, and in it they talk about a wooden plank that they own that was taken from the original Amityville house before it was torn down.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I actually talked about this plank back in season one of our show, so it's a major throwback for those of you who have been with us since the beginning. Yeah, so they're doing that. I think everyone should support them because I want to see more work from them. They're really nice people, so, and they're honest people. And Hellier was one of my favorite paranormal documentaries I've ever seen. So support their stuff.
So well done.
Yeah. The American Scream is streaming again on Amazon Prime. Have you seen The American Scream?
I have not.
I recommend it to so many people. It is not scary. It is a documentary that follows three families in Massachusetts that take Halloween very seriously.
I remember you talking about this
stuff. Every year they do something called house haunting, which is essentially creating a walkthrough haunted attraction in their yard that the entire town shows up for. The documentary is touching, it's nostalgic, it's inspiring. It's also very funny at times because sometimes it feels like you're watching a spoof like Spinal Tap or Best in Show. Because it's like,
I was just thinking of Best in Show, like the way they're talking about their haunted house in their yard.
Yeah, and the way like how they take something so seriously when it's like, you know, kind of silly, but I highly recommend it, especially for those of you who are like, I like documentaries, but I'm tired of feeling bad all the time.
Totally. It's like we don't want to hear about a murder or a kidnapping every time we watch a documentary
or cannibals,
the political underground, like all of it. So yeah, this sounds delightful.
It's a true delight. It used to be streaming all the time. They took it away for years and it is back on Prime. So I highly recommend that. Big question. Big, huge, huge, okay?
Huge.
Have you started American Horror Story New York City yet?
I did because of your post. I was ready to not give it the time of day, to be honest, because I have been burned by American Horror Story before start so strong. I will always give them that credit. They rope me in. There's like three or four episodes where I'm like, this fucking rules. And then by the end, I'm like, what was that ending? Why did we lose everything that was good about it? So I was like, ugh, New York.
Which could still happen. It's only six episodes in, but
I know, but even so, I just felt like your review perfectly, like it was enough. So I did finally start it. I'm only an episode in, but I'm in. I'm sold.
Do you think it might be their best season? And I don't mean the best season since season one. I mean their best season.
You are not saying it's better than season one. That is a bold statement.
It is better to me than season one because, and it's not that I don't like the campiness of American Horror Story. I very much so do. And season one was great, but there's still a lot of weak points in it. I'm halfway through this season, haven't hit a weak point yet. I think that
you said six episodes in. That's impressive.
It's so good. They've got a completely new cast. Obviously, a couple fan faves are popping in here and there. Dennis O'Hare, Zachary Quinto. There are some favorites, but it's so refreshing. God bless you. I love you, Evan Peters, more than anything. And I love you, Sarah Paulson. We need new blood.
We do. And they are in so many other projects that it's like, you're good. Like, you can move on from this. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, we all know about Evan Peters and Dahmer, but I feel like he pops up and stuff all the time. Sarah Paulson truly anytime there is a female character who's a little, just slightly off and crazed, Sarah Paulson is playing them.
Well, especially if Ryan Murphy's producing, it's Sarah Paulson.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But so it's really good. They're releasing 2 episodes a week. It's streaming on Hulu the day after they premiere. This season is a police procedural that follows a closeted gay cop in 1980s New York who is investigating strange things happening within the LGBTQ community. And not only does it seem like there's a serial murderer targeting gay men that the police could give a shit less about, but also there's some kind of disease spreading within the gay community that's starting to make a lot of people extremely sick. It's terrifying and devastating, and it's a fascinating take on the AIDS epidemic and just how the queer community was treated in general at the time. So highly recommend it. Also, I have never seen such a collection of hot gay men in one place.
Seriously. Oh my, that was, to be honest, that's half of the reason I'm roped in. I'm like, look at this beautiful crop of people that we have on this show.
We had the normal heart, and that was like hot gay men express. Like, I loved,
sure,
I loved how many hot gays were in that. This multiply it by two. This is next level hot gays. So if you are into that as much as I am, check it out. Speaking of gay, Shudder's long-awaited series Queer for Fear is out now as well.
Yes.
It is superb. It really showcases how the entire horror genre has been fueled by queer creators since the very beginning.
Oh my god, yes. I saw a TikTok, a little preview of it, and I was like, everything they said, I was like, yup.
Yeah.
Like, all driven by the queer community.
Yeah, and not only just, like, the metaphors and everything, but also the very first episode, for example, you know, they talk about Mary Shelley giving us Frankenstein, Oscar Wilde giving us Dorian Gray, and even Bram Stoker giving us Dracula. They invented gothic horror, and they were all very gay. So watch that. And then finally, of course, for our horror fans, and this has been posted in our group, I think Lilo posted it, you have to check out Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix.
Oh, I saw that post today. I'm so excited.
It is. I've only watched 3 episodes, and I would have watched more, but Joe literally was like, I need to take a break. It is extraordinarily graphic, okay? Extraordinarily bloody. But in the best way. I mean, like, extreme, extreme gore.
In only the way Guillermo del Toro can do it.
Yeah, and I don't know if he directs any of them, actually, because they're all, it's 8 episodes. It's an anthology, so you can watch them in any order you want. I guarantee there's a list somewhere online, too, that ranks them. So if you wanted to watch them from, like, worst to best, or, like, scariest to least scary, or, like, however you want to do it, I guarantee there's one of those. But they're all directed by different people, written by different people. It really is
so
lovely. Yeah. I mean, horror is the one genre that has that going for it. You know, we have sci-fi too, and you know, you got Black Mirror and stuff like that, but horror has Tales from the Crypt, Creepshow, Twilight Zone. Like, we've had this sort of like anthology setup for 100 years.
I love.
Oh,
it's
same.
So good.
Yeah, I love a good horror anthology, and so far this one slaps. It slaps.
It fucking slaps, y'all. Very excited.
So definitely check that out.
Also, this is like old news of things to watch, and I think we all talked about it in the Facebook group or on Instagram, but I just loved that we accidentally watched this movie on the same night, and I can't recommend it enough, but also can't stop saying what just happened, but I think everybody should watch Barbarian.
Oh, Barbarian rules.
but just prepare yourself to... That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I loved that I went into it blind. Yes.
Same.
I went into it without reading a damn thing. Like, again, we talked about it at the beginning of like Halloween season or whenever the trailer first came out. You and I were both like, we're avoiding it. Like, we don't want to know anything. And I am so glad because the movie ended and I watched it alone because you know Alex won't watch it with me. I watched it alone and I shouted, what just happened? Alex came in to be like, what's going on? And I was like, are you going to see this movie? Because if not, I'm going to tell you the plot. And he was like, of course I'm not going to see this movie. So I told him the plot and he didn't know how to speak to me for the rest of the night. But yeah, you posted about it and I was like, I literally just watched this as well and I didn't know what to do with my body.
It's great. I mean, neither did Joe. He ended up laying on the floor.
Laying on the floor. That was
kind of me. It wasn't even halfway over and he was laying on the floor and I was like, you okay? And he was like, I can't.
I feel like we'll talk about it later, but I feel like I bet what moment set him to the floor.
and then Deadstream too.
Wait, do I not know about what's Deadstream?
You haven't watched Deadstream? That might be what we have to stream. So it's a Shudder original. It came out this October. It's a Halloween staple for me now. I will watch it every year. And it's about this influencer who has a YouTube channel where he tries to do everything that scares him. So like skydives, he runs from the cops, he does all this stuff. And in this particular YouTube stream, he decides to spend the night alone in a supposedly haunted house.
Oh, I'm so here for it.
And it is like Evil Dead meets the Blair Witch Project meets a YouTube stream. It is
so wonderful. Is it like found footage style? It's found footage. Watching the stream?
It's like you're watching the stream. So you can also sometimes you can read the comment section. It's really lovely and it's very funny, but also very scary. It's great, guys. There's so much to watch.
There is. It's kind of what I love about the internet age, like as cheesy as some people think it is. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple movies that have come out that have that setup where it looks like we're watching a Zoom call or a stream or
the host.
You're just seeing somebody's computer screen. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think of The Host where you're just like seeing one of the characters' screens the whole time, whether it's on FaceTime or her messages or whatever, and you're just on her screen the entire time. But when it's well done, it is so terrifying and so fun because you have to get with the times, you know, and that's where we're at.
Found footage came about as soon as people had handheld cameras. I think one of my favorite found footage movies is one that it's barely a movie. It's like 45 minutes long. It is usually on Shudder. I think it's still on Shudder. It's called The McPherson Tapes. And it's literally, I think it was like a class project or something, but it was great. And it was just a family getting together for like a birthday party with a handheld camera. And then, you know, aliens show up. It fucking rules. And it's super creepy and eerie and odd.
Exactly.
So like once that happened, once we got handheld cameras, you know, and they were prominent in our homes, then we had found footage movies. And now we have so much going on the internet. The internet is going to start showing up in a lot of movies, and it's just, I love the creativity. It's inspiring. Yeah,
again, when people do it well, it's so great, which, comes another fun suggestion of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm so excited.
It's so fun. It's such a blast, and it's very, like, Gen Z, like, the most, like, 2022 horror movie you could ever make. It is such a fun time. I'm sure there's people out there who are taking it too seriously and have critiques, but I thought it was a blast.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta
have fun.
Have a good time.
Yep.
Like we
Pete
do
Davidson.
Every day. That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. We hope that we were able to tickle your weird bone.
And your silly bone.
Stop the show. What? Where would our weird bone be?
Funny
I think
bone
it's
is
spinal.
Like by the elbow.
Yeah. I feel like your weird bone's got to be
back,
like one
the
of your
middle of your spine.
Yes, your spinal cord.
I agree with that.
We're born with it. Anyway, we hope we were able to entertain you this week with our abrupt change in programming. We'll be back next week and we'll be discussing alchemy. Fucking finally. It's here, y'all.
So excited.
Alchemy, alchemists, mysticism, the occult, and the science of it all. But in the meantime, please follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast and make sure you're checking your DMs. We did message some winners of our October giveaways. We want to get y'all your prizes. Check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find ways you can support us financially by donating to the show and receiving perks like bonus episodes and a newsletter every month. And also, last but not least, if you want a Keep It Weird shirt, tote bag, or hoodie before the weather outside gets too frightful, head over to our merch store at www.keepitweirdpodcast.com/merch.
Do it. They're Do so it. Cozy.
Do it. They're so soft. They're so cozy.
So soft.
So, hey, it's so soft.
We love it.
It's so soft. It's not as soft as our old sweatpants, but hey, if you missed out on sweatpants, what can we tell you? We talked about them for 2 years straight.
like every episode we plugged the sweatpants. I know. So that's on you.
And then when we moved over to TeePublic and people were like, oh, sweatpants. I was like, tough titty. That's what I have to
you
say.
You had your chance.
You had your chance.
You had your chance.
I'm also missing the chance to buy sweatpants because mine have a hole in the butt right down the crack. So.
Both of mine, because if you remember, I had to buy a second pair.
Because he wore them out. yeah, I guess that's our sign off this week. Our sign off is so soft.
So soft.
So
and
soft.
Keep it weird.
Hi, hello. This is Ashley Cassidy reporting live from my bedroom.
Testing. 1, 2. Reporting live from Ashley's childhood bedroom, where she spent many a night with
me.